This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Yes, that was
ASAP
later.
Rocky,
yeah, that was later corrected. But, you know, when you're in the moment.
He's still Olam.
Yeah, there's
a deal's a deal.
There definitely is, like, some type of.
Yeah, deal's a deal.
Mm.
I'm taking Rihanna to court. You owe me.
I don't know how you do that, but it's definitely something that if you're Joel Embiid.
You can go to court.
He gets that MVP, right? Doesn't he show up with, like, the trophy?
Yeah.
Just like, put it right down.
Uh-huh.
Let's go.
Umbrella, Ella. Oh, yeah, it's going to rain.
Yeah, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Really,
we want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Grizzlies, Warriors, I mean, you talk about a battle. Like, this thing has really been fun. We talked a little bit with Q Rich about it in the previous hour. But it really, it's been a physical series. It's been a nasty series. It's definitely that established team, at least the core is established, who understands what it takes versus the young team that is trying to prove they're ready. And as you said, they gotta hurt first. Well, they're hurt right now, especially if Ja Morant is out for tonight's game four at 9:30 Eastern. You can hear the game on ESPN Radio. Head coach Taylor Jenkins of the Grizzlies said that it was a – well, did he say – he didn't say dirty play, but he definitely felt like that play with Jordan Poole reaches and grabs his knee as he's going for the ball is where the injury happened. They wanted the league to look at it.
No, it didn't.
The league did.
By the way.
The league basically said it's a play-on kind of thing.
Right there is when it happened.
Well, actually, when he need him from – he got the knee up
from the
back of the leg.
As Ja was overextended.
Some also
and then
think,
the grab came right before that. It was overextended. That's when the knee is at its weakest. And they touch legs. And then what happens is the meniscus and all that stuff is vulnerable at that point.
Yep.
And that's when it happens. The pull on the leg, you can pull on somebody's knee. Yeah, you can pull on somebody's knee all day. That does absolutely nothing.
I always found that interesting. It's like,
you see right there? Right before he grabbed it?
Thanos, he's grabbing his knee and ripping his kneecap off.
Like, yeah.
You can't rip a ligament by using your
hand. Yeah, and that was such a weak thing. That was a weak pull. I'm telling you, as it was exposed, it was kind of hyperextended, and his leg ran into his leg, and it shifted it left
and
to right.
And remember, there was a previous play where he went to contest a Klay Thompson three, and they banged knees also on that play, and he limped off that a little bit, too.
It's a delayed reaction. Man.
So who knows? Again, but
– wasn't a dirty play, put it that way.
Yeah, no, and the league agreed. We all agreed with this. But Taylor Jenkins – was for a couple of days playing this thing up after the game, even yesterday during the off day. But now that they could be without him for game four, that they got to win. And remember, they have won without him. It's important for Taylor Jenkins to not get caught up in all the narratives.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not able to go, we rally as a team, and that's what we're focused on. We're not trying to get caught up in narratives. And that's why I'm just being matter of fact that, you know, this injury is caused by that play. You know, I'm not going into any further detail outside of that. And then the fact that our team all season long has risen to the occasion when anybody's been out. Obviously, Ja's been out for a number of games, and our guys stepped up, you know, beautifully. Obviously, Tyus would step into the starting role, and we just need to rally as a team and just move forward and focus on game four. That's what we addressed today, is, you know, where we've got to play better.
And I remember that's head coach Taylor Jenkins of the Grizzlies, and they play tonight against the Warriors, 9:30 Eastern, a game you can hear on ESPN Radio, game four. Now, and the Warriors up 2-1 because they just blew out game three. Suddenly was not compete.
Good luck.
Now, this series has gotten, it starts in game one with Draymond Green, right? And that hard foul.
And
he gets the flagrant two, he gets thrown out. Then Dylan Brooks hits Gary Payton the second on a dunk attempt, and he gets thrown out. And Gary Payton is now out for a while, for a couple of weeks now for the Warriors, and he's a key player. And remember, Steve Kerr called that he broke the code. That's what Steve Kerr was saying. So there's a lot of back and forth being said between these players.
What did Ja tweet afterwards?
And then Ja tweeted, broke the code. Then he deleted it.
Probably too late. Like, stop it. We screenshot everything, bro. It's there forever now.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, this series has been entertaining because, A, you've got entertaining players. The Grizzlies have been a fun team to watch. You have the Warriors, which are the Warriors. And Steph Curry, Ja Morant. And it's been fun because it has been physical. It has been competitive. But has it gone too far? I know. I'm asking you that, which I know the answer already. You're shaking your head saying no. I don't believe so either. Like, I love when they let teams play physical, when they let these series, and the players decide it because you should. Yeah. All we say about the NBA is how guys don't play hard. Guys don't want to play. They take nights off. There's a lot of flopping. Then you have a series like this where everybody's laying it on the line to win, and it's competitive. Nobody's hugging and kissing after games. You're not seeing that stuff. Which I actually, think we're all here for it.
They're actually talking stuff as they walk by. Yeah, like, yeah, this is going to be fun. Remember when Jaws walking by Steph? Yeah, this is going to be fun.
So, like, I find this series compelling. If you're the league, you love this. But Mark Spears, a friend of ours, not Mark, it's not Swagoo, but the basketball Mark Spears, of course.
Both black.
Who's an NBA writer and Scape writer now, and Sunday morning on ESPN Radio, had this to say about the series, which, again, it's fun, it's competitive, it's been hotly contested. But is it on the verge of going too far?
I wouldn't call it dirty. I just call it physical. I think that Memphis set a tone from the beginning that they were going to be physical with the Warriors. See Draymond's eye. He still looks beat up. And I think that they have every right to be in their physical. And it's smart to be physical against this team because they are, outside of Draymond, very, very finesse. They live by their outside shooting, and which they are excellent at. So I don't blame Memphis for coming out and trying to push them to a place where they think could give them an advantage. That's basketball. That's what you do. I think the worry is you better have a really good referee staff the rest of this series because you don't want it to boil over into something bad.
Paging Scott Foster. It's usually where it goes. But I agree with him. I think it's been physical. It's been great. It's been entertaining.
Yeah.
And you hope now it doesn't – remember what I said? I mean, it can keep going another level. Yeah. But eventually they got to get down to playing basketball because it's 2-1.
And this is the thing, right? And listen, the Warriors are a championship pedigree.
Yep.
They've been there, done that. They understand, like, they're not going to get emotional about it. But remember what Draymond said. Draymond said, hey, you guys tell us that we're the finesse team. Like, they're the tough guys. They're the ones come out of character. So if they ring it back, if they come in and they get Scott Foster and he takes control of the game, advantage who? Golden State. So it doesn't matter. They're going home early. They were feeling themselves talking about running up the chimney with all the smoke, but they don't realize that they ain't never smelt this type of smoke. You know what I'm saying? This ain't smoke from traditional burning house. This chemical smoke. You can't just douse water on it. It's a grease fire.
Well, it won't be Scott Foster. Tonight's officials, I just checked the referee assignments for the game. Mark Davis, who's a veteran, of course, John Goble, also a veteran, Carl Lane as well. So that's you have three vets, but you won't have Scott Foster, which, you know, I believe actually didn't he officiate yesterday?
Nah, so he's, don't tell me the Mavericks.
What? No.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that was that crew. 888 say ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. But this series has been fun. But if they're without Ja, now most people think, wow, they're without him. He's averaging like 48 a game. Like, he's been unbelievable in the playoffs. And yet, they have been a team this year that has played so well without him. I think it's something like, is it 20-2 or 20-3 without him? Like, there's some kind of a crazy record that they were so good without him.
They're so much easier to defend without Ja.
I agree.
Without having to blitz them.
So, can they do this and even this series up without him?
Once again, this is where numbers lie. Oh, they're so good without him. You know, they're one of the better teams without him. But what
20-5. Okay, I thought I was close. Thank you, ESPN Plus.
Yeah, but what happens, right? Those opponents that they're 20-5 against weren't the Warriors. That's the difference. Because you need somebody that's going to cause the Warriors' defense to break down so that other guys can have opportunities. And now you just made them so much easier to defend, right? Because now you're going to say, okay, well, we're going to push you guys off of the three-point line because now without Ja breaking down a defense, getting penetration and facilitating from there.
He gets to the paint
now,
whenever he wants.
Right. Now a lot of you guys don't really have the ability to get to the paint and create on your own. So now what we're going to do is now we're going to run you guys off the three-point line. So now you can have all the tools you want. We over here shooting threes up and jacking them up at a clip that's unprecedented. Good luck with that.
And you know what else, too? It's less pressure on individual defenders. Jordan Poole, for example.
Yeah.
Everybody else that had to step up to try to slow Ja down, you don't have to do that now. Now, that's one less thing you
relax.
Have to worry
Let's
about.
Let's not relax. Let's see if Kerr has them ready to go, and you have to put that doubt in them early. You can't let a team like Memphis hang around.
Don't mess around with this
series. You got to get at them early.
Yes, and you're in your building, obviously, and they blew that game open the second half, and, you know, the Warriors just have that championship DNA about
that third
them.
Third quarter.
I love what you said, though, to Q Rich. I want you to repeat it again from the five heartbeats.
Oh, you know, it was like, you know, you have to suffer more, right? It was, you know, you talk about Duck, who's from the Five Heartbeats, and they say he's going to be a great writer when he has a little bit more pain in his life.
Right.
And you watch, and you saw everybody that kind of gets there. Some teams are able to skip the line. Every blue moon, you can skip the line.
It's rare.
It's those outliers, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you have to experience how to lose before you learn how to win. And this is where this Memphis team is. They're a very young group, all homegrown. They're going to be together for a long time. I'm assuming that they're going to pay these guys. Some of they might lose a couple, right? But they did a great job getting rid of Steven Adams and replacing him with somebody else, right, that can help them and fit in better.
But Adams is hurt.
Oh, no, I'm tripping. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, I'm talking about bringing veterans in.
I got you. Say.
But, you know, they have to suffer a little bit more. And this is something that they're going to go back in the offseason. How do we beat the Warriors, right? Because before they wanted all the smoke, but now they have to realize there's levels to this. So now they got to try and create a team that can beat their nemesis, a team that they're not constructed very well to
beat.
They've
never been
here.
Right. And look, if they had played the Warriors at a different point in this, you know, well, they did last year. They beat them. But the Warriors are on this sort of redemption tour, this revenge tour. It's so same thing as the Suns. But the Warriors are about, like, reestablishing this dynasty that we set a couple of years ago. Yeah. And now we're back and we've got a younger core. We got a younger group around us, but we still have our championship core. The Suns are about making up for what he lost in the finals last year. That's that redemption story. So you've
Paul's
got
legacy.
These veteran teams that are very motivated. Unlike,
pain.
Like, and I'm 0-4, your Pistons
won
a championship against a Laker team that was done, right? They were done. And that's the perfect – they met at just the right time. That Pistons group was growing and became what they became. And then they took advantage of a Laker team that looked indomitable but weren't because they had already mentally quit. The Grizzlies have not met that in the Warriors. The Warriors are still very much focused on, no, we're getting back there. So this is that time. You got to learn from this and build. But it doesn't mean the series is over. Not by a long shot.
It doesn't. But
a jaw injury
makes
it very difficult to believe they can win this thing.
If our memory serves us correct, Clay, Draymond, Steph, they're closers.
Yep.
And, like, they may look cute. Like Steph Curry looks like the basketball version of Gizmo, all cuddly and stuff like that. We're going to hold him. Look at his little eyes. He's so cute. But he is deadly.
Don't feed him after midnight.
And he is a killer. And he understands that, listen, we're not even going to play around with this team.
What was the third one? It was don't feed him after midnight.
Yeah. Can't get him wet.
Don't get him wet. But wasn't there a third one?
Man, our listeners have to help us out.
The first two were still enough that the guy in the middle, you knew the minute they gave those rules, you're like, all right, somebody's going to screw this up.
Yeah, somebody, you give him a snack. And
jump in the pool.
It's daylight saving time. Oh, damn, it's really after 12.
I love Gizmo. I love Gremlins. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, a big night from one Celtics star is going to go a long way in erasing the memories of Game 3, because if you want a seat at that table, you can't play like you just played in Game 3. But first, we remind you, it's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at progressive.com. All right, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Our fearless leader, Stosh, our producer, he's got all three of the rules with the Gremlins, with the Mogwai.
Ah.
It is. Keep them out of the sun. Remember, bright light.
Got you.
Don't get them wet, and don't feed them after midnight.
Got you. See what happens?
I forgot about the whole light thing, but
yeah,
I remember
too.
That he would say that, bright light.
They can't go in sunlight?
Nope.
They're nocturnal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's why they always acted up at night.
Stosh, what kind of bear were they? I mean, I know they're from extraterrestrial, but, you know, were they a certain type of bear?
Bear?
They were like a little cuddly bear.
They were like a Mogwai.
A Mogwai?
I don't know if they were aliens, though. I just think they were. Remember the dad bought it from.
Mutated something?
Yeah.
Huh. I've never heard of a Mogwai.
He bought it like some back alley Chinatown kind of place.
See,
and the guy, like, told them.
Got to be careful when you go there, man. Big Trouble, Little China, all that stuff. You got to be careful.
And then at the end
alleys.
Of the movie, the guy shows up and he's, like, scolding him. All right. We get to your calls here. A lot of people still want to sound off on – so if you're just joining us, Adrian Wojnarowski reported before the show that Nikola Jokic will win the MVP for the second straight year. And while the stats tell you – I mean, he had a historic year PER. He had a great year statistically. All the analytics point to him having an incredible year for the Denver Nuggets. And that also without his running mate, his star, in Jamal Murray. But Bart was furious when this news came out. And at the start of the show, you said that Joel Embiid got robbed, that he deserved it. You gave all the reasons why. Quentin Richardson joined us early in that hour. He said the same thing. He would have given it to Embiid as well. And we've had a ton of callers say it should have gone to Joel Embiid. But Sean in Kentucky has a different take. Sean.
Yo, first off, I'd like to say to you, Bart and Han, in the words of Faison Love from Who's Your Caddy, how's your mama and them?
And them.
No, up, man, I'm glad to be on here. Bart, I'd have to agree with you, man. I would probably, from the eye test, I'd give it to Embiid. But as Han pointed out, man, those metrics matter. And I think Embiid had a harder road to the stats that he has. But unfortunately, there's not a metric to measure that. You can only go off what you do on the court. And it's hard to say. I mean, to give it to Embiid, you'd have to say he was more deserving of it than Jokic. Now, I don't think he's more deserving. I think he's as deserving. But I do think Jokic is more deserving than Embiid. I mean, you just can't ignore that stat. And it's not just based on that stat, but
strength of schedule matters, right? Like, that's easy to figure out, strength of schedule.
It's basically saying that he's playing more East teams than obviously Jokic faced.
So. Right, and we talk about, we can go to head-to-head when they played each other, right? You can go to head-to-head because now you're watching them go against each other. And, you know, where Jokic had three more assists than Joel Embiid, Joel averaged three more points. So I think that averages out, in my opinion. And the biggest thing was, Joel has to stay healthy. Well, he stayed healthy. So you tell me to do something last year, and I do that, and I up my scoring and everything, and I still don't get it? So what is it? You keep moving the goalposts.
888-SAY-ESPN. Thank you, Sean. 888-729-3776. We'll keep this conversation going, of course. But I do want to mention, though, another game to talk about tonight is the Boston Celtics.
Mm.
And their game in Milwaukee.
Mm.
Something that bothered me about that game, Bart, and it was as I'm watching it. Again, like I said, there's a lot of stuff this weekend. I mean, there was headlines galore, and that game got physical. I did a thing where, like, you know that song "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor"? Like, I felt like in that series, yeah, you know the song I'm talking about. Like that. That's all I kept thinking because people, like, it was the court was littered with bodies.
Yeah,
guys taking charges. I mean, how crazy is Grant Williams to step in front of, just willingly step in front of Giannis? Like,
yeah,
right in front, right on the train tracks. Come get me.
But, man, listen.
That hurts.
Listen, I was on the other side saying, hey, Kevin Durant is, because Kevin Durant does it in such a pretty fashion. But at this point, how can you not say that Giannis is the best player in the NBA?
He's ridiculous. He's gotten, what's changed?
He's a chameleon.
He's become so good at when he sees the double coming. He knows where the open man is. And you also credit his teammates for knowing, getting his sight lines, all that stuff. That's great coaching. That's Mike Budenholzer, who I was critical of last year. They've got that team organized. But I'm watching this game, and I'm thinking to myself, Jason Tatum wants a seat at the table. And we talked about after the series with Brooklyn.
I told you. What I tell you.
He goes up against Kevin Durant. They sweep him, and it's like, all right, our good friend Monica McNutt was saying, he's at the table now. No. You got to now get past Giannis. And if he gets past Giannis, and then whoever he gets past in the conference final, whether it's Embiid, whether it's Jimmy Butler, then you get to the finals. Well, I'll tell you what, you'll have a seat at the table at this point, because if you can do all that, it's always about the pelts on the wall. I said this on Get Up.
Yep.
Pelts on the wall will matter to how people view you and your status. But you give me a dud like you gave me in Game 3, and you started I'm not saying he checked out, but I was looking at a guy whose body language was not telling me, I'm going to grind this thing out, I'm going to grit this thing out. It looked to me like a guy that just got frustrated with tough defense and not getting calls. And although he got the one dunk when Giannis tried to block it, and it was an unbelievable dunk.
But that's Giannis catching up from behind. But that just shows you Giannis. He doesn't care to get dunked on. He's going to compete every play.
He was going for
it. The result is the result.
But there was something about his body language that bothered me.
Told you. Listen.
And that, you can't do that. He's got to have not a good but great game tonight for me to forget what I saw in Game 3. Otherwise, the seat at the table thing,
I told you.
The music stopped. There's no chair.
I told you. Listen, anybody can look good when they get their primary defender is 10 inches shorter than you. let me say that again. Anybody can ball out and shoot at a high percentage when the average height of the defender checking you is 10 inches. Let that sit in. Let that sit in. Mm. That's what he was facing in game one. Kyrie Irving, Seth Curry, and Patty Mills. See, that's a false sense of security. And then you go against something that can punch back. And let's see if Tatum has that grit. Because he's going to need the determination of a Marcus Smart. He's going to need that type of dog in him. Because it's going to come down to the wire. It's going to come down at the end of the day between these two teams that are equally matched. It's going to come down to four to five plays.
It's going to come down to the stars.
4 to 5 plays. Hustle plays
right.
and making big shots. And Giannis is up for the task. They are setting up landmines in front of him. And he is nimbly Euro-stepping his way around everybody. Sometimes they get him. Sometimes they don't.
Right.
And guys all that flopping, step in, all that flopping stuff, he just dunking on. Oh, he should have came down and stepped on their chest bump and said, "Oh, I didn't know you were still under there." Like they are flopping. Talk about the Flyersbury flop. I thought Ginobili's like, "What the hell?" Like Ginobili's like, "This is
even
crap.
Ginobili says like, there's too much
on,
flopping."
Like, come on.
But the difference is what you just said. Giannis has been in beast mode, and Giannis has been like, "All right, you're gonna call me for a charge? That's fine, but just know I'm coming with that kind of aggression every time. Are you sure you want to keep stepping in front of this?" And guys are going to make business decisions. Now, to the credit of the Celtics, they got some tough dudes, and they're stepping in. I'll give them that. But the opposite, and series comes down to stars. It always does. And Tatum was – Wes Matthews was just in him, in his head, in his hip, in his space, in his – all of it. And you could just see it. He had the worst – arguably the worst playoff game of his career. And he didn't make a think about this. So when Wes Matthews was guarding Tatum, about 10 minutes of matchup time total, right, in the game, he was 0 for 9. Did not draw a single foul and had a turnover. Like, Wes Matthews owned you in this game. And that's why you've got – now, Wes Matthews is a good player, but come on.
Yeah.
He's a good defender.
Wes Matthews.
Like, you're never going to – you're not going to mistake him for, like, an all-defensive player or a defensive player of the year. He's good. He's also a guy that can shoot the three. But you've got – if you, I mean, you're Jason Tatum. You can't let this happen again.
Yeah.
This has to be – like, again, tonight is a statement game for him, I believe. Another one of his career. He's early in his career, but these are the games you're starting to say, hey.
He's been around long enough.
I know, that's what I'm saying. This is the time for him to step up because this is a winnable series for the Celtics. Absolutely is. It's been very competitive. It's been very fun. But you can't have another game like that if you want a seat at the table.
Should we ask the people who's the
– we've been asking them a lot of things. Yeah, what else do you want to ask them?
Let's ask them
– what's up?
What team is in most trouble?
Who's in trouble?
Yeah, the 1-2 team. Who's in trouble?
You got 2-1 series and you got 2-2-2 series.
Yeah, who's in trouble?
Which team do you think is in the most trouble?
Who's in trouble?
I think if Ja's out, it's got to be the Grizzlies, right? Do you have another team?
I mean, listen, the momentum in Philadelphia, who knows?
You think the Heat are in trouble?
Is it that Joel Embiid is that big of a difference? Right. That's has to be.
There's the question. At Barton Hahn, also 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your calls also on the MVP debate. Plus, a case of mistaken identity. The manager who wasn't impressed with a walk-off home run that beat his team, and also more. Coming up on Audio Files and Your Calls. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
That's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. The road to the rematch is on. You have bantamweight champ Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes. I know you're into this, Bart. Head-to-head.
Juicy.
Yes. Coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN Plus. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. We've had a hell of like a couple of weekends now in a row of some fights, bro.
Canelo lost, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
trying to go up the light heavyweight.
Yeah, he just wanted to fight.
Somebody's bigger and better. Yeah, but no, you know, he thinks he can go and go swagger jack other people weight classes, and at some point you're going to find somebody that's going to say, you know what, I'm bigger than you. I'm not about to sit up here and be afraid of your punch of power. Like, you look at Pascal.
Doesn't really hurt Canelo, though, like, as far as, like, just what you think of him as a fighter? Does it really hurt?
Well, he was trying – listen, he still may be considered – he's not my pound-for-pound champion. I think, to me, is Bud Crawford. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people
You've said that many times.
I just love Bud. I just can't wait to that unification between him and Errol Spence, which we think we're going to get this rematch. Oh, yeah, this is great. Yo. So, like, you know, listen, Nunes – like, you know, banged her up a little bit, you know what I mean? Had her eye black, but she choked her out. She got her with that rear naked choke, and she was able to tap her out. So this is a rematch. You know, remember, Nunez has been like the Ronda Rousey. You know what I mean? She beat the brakes off Ronda. Next time we saw Ronda, she was in a kilt talking about, I'm a WWF. I'm doing pretend wrestling. They hit too hard for in real life. Nunez is a beast.
All right. So you got that going on. You know what else we got going on? More things in the world of sports. So we've talked about a lot of things, but let's step aside right now and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files. The Audio File.
Done that in a while, actually.
Oh,
it felt good to do that.
The hell of a
Barton
call.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, and yes. Yeah, it was a pretty good going,
like,
right?
James Harden, you know what I'm saying? You stepped the game up, man. We took
Had
the segment
to.
Away, and you was like, no, I want it back.
Had to. So the Yankees finally played some baseball because it was so much bad weather here in New York. They had a doubleheader yesterday. And in one of the games, the first game, actually, a 2-1 win, Gleyber Torres hits a home run to the short porch. That didn't sound like a New Yorker at all. Short porch. That was better, right? Shot potch is what they say in Fenway. You go down to Yankee Stadium, you hit the shot potch, you get an easy one. Not like the pesky pole. A little bit easier to hit the home run there at the stadium. But
all right,
no.
All right, Alan Gettleman.
Yes. Full bloom love. So Chris Woodward, the manager of the Texas Rangers, who ended up losing that game 2-1 because of the walk-off by Gleyber, had this to say about new Yankee Stadium.
Small ballpark. That's an easy out. in 99% of ballparks. So, you know, the wind wasn't helping today, obviously, but, you know, just 3-1 count. Probably going to, you know, King is one guy that you put him back out there, you're like, okay, he's not going to give up a homer. Just happened to hit it in a little league ballpark, you know, to right field.
Little league ballpark. Who's a little Man. Sore, Bart?
You know what? I don't know.
Like, this is Yankee Stadium, son.
I mean,
the old Yankee Stadium.
The short porch has been there in right field forever. Yes, it's a new stadium that opened in 09, but guess what? It's kind of the same dimensions as the old one. So, I mean, it is what it is. Aaron Boone had this to say about Woodward's comments about the Little League ballpark in the Boogie Down.
His math's wrong. 99% is impossible. There's only 30 parks.
Yeah, and I believe it's a home run in a lot of them. Anyways, Woodward did today.
Pay you with the receipts.
He did today walk it back.
All right, Bone with the receipts.
He did walk it back. He did say hats off to Gleyber. I know he hit that ball hard. And then he added that Yankee Stadium is probably one of my favorite places to come, but
Boo. They've
got a short right field. They Boo. Always have.
Well, why don't you guys
It's like back
it
in the old park. That's kind of what makes this place unique in a lot of ways. Short porch.
Boo.
Anyways, the Kentucky Derby. Did you get that?
Hey, man, my horse. I'm going to punch your horse.
Rich Strike. The name alone. The story alone was incredible.
Did you bet?
Consider he no.
I should have. You should have asked Barsha
Thomas. They enter the horse on Friday out of the blue because the horse they originally had did not make it. 200-1 to start the day on Saturday. Gets to 80-1 at the gate. Wins it.
Did anybody bet? He came from behind and a lot of trash, too.
It was
a lot of trash.
Tremendous.
Well, what's up with his horse biting?
So anyways, at the Kentucky Derby, you have, of course, the usual regalia that you have at the Kentucky Derby with the mint juleps and the hats and everything else.
Yeah.
And, of course, celebrities that need to be seen and want to be seen, including a college basketball star who was mistaken by a reporter from Sky Sports who happened to be... This
Can't
is not
Sky
Kentucky
Board.
Derby.
That would be Monday.
This was not the Derby. I thought this was the Derby. This is not. No. You know what else was going on?
This is
so much
Hamilton.
Was happening
this is
this weekend.
Lewis Hamilton.
That's what I...
In Miami,
thinking.
Son, with Michael
Jordan. This is at the F1, the Grand Prix
yes.
in Miami.
In Miami, son.
So much happened this weekend. I'm getting everything crossed up.
It's okay. I'm here for
right.
you.
Right.
I'm here
this
for you.
This is where...
I'm here for you.
This is where... So, anyways, let's get to it. So, a college basketball star was mistaken... for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And it went like this.
This is crazy. I've never been to an F1 race. This is spectacular.
It's amazing to be allowed right in the middle of the competitors just before the race starts.
Yeah, now you can see they locked in. It reminds me of myself. Real focused.
Okay, it's not Patrick. That's why he ignored me in the beginning. But what is your name, sir?
Paolo Banchero.
Right, okay. Well, I thought I was talking to somebody else. So I'm sorry about that.
Did it ever happen to you?
ever. Yeah.
So again, this is the reporter from Sky One. He's an F1, Formula One reporter. Yeah. So he doesn't know who he's talking to. He's obviously not from the U.S. Well, it's like he doesn't know college basketball, yeah. But he sees Paolo, who has the same hair.
Same curly
but he's
hair.
6'10".
See, but he don't.
Like Patrick Mahomes, he's 6'10".
He don't know. He just knows Patrick Mahomes because he thinks Patrick Mahomes is a big guy.
Have you ever been somewhere where somebody walks up to you and interviews you thinking you're one person?
No, not interview.
Never?
That would have hurt. Because, he was like, don't worry, son. One day I'm going to make more money than Patrick Mahomes because I'm going to go to the basketball league and I'm going to tear it up, son. Oh, that hurt, though, because he was talking like he, like.
Just he was, like no, me.
Yeah, just like me. Like, and I'm like, he's like, yeah. And they like, somebody was in his ear, breaker, breaker, that is not Patrick Mahomes. Breaker, breaker. And he was like, sorry, what is your name, sir?
Yo.
Like, so he just got no credit for even interviewing him. He thought he was on Swagger Jack.
I saw so many different interviews like this. Like, it all blends into one big thing. But think about the weekend we just had. You had the Kentucky Derby Saturday. You had all the NBA stuff. You had the Stanley Cup playoffs. You had the Canelo fight. And then you have, of course, the Formula First one in Miami. In the Grand Prix. And so it's like, how many videos did we watch all weekend? And you're just like, where was this now? Where was this now?
I mean, you got two.
That's amazing, though.
The Sixers played twice. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you can't keep up.
Yeah, since Bart Stradamus last spoke on Friday, a lot has happened.
Yeah, see, on Friday, everybody should have asked me who was going to win the horse race. They would have made way more money.
Rich Strike? You would have picked Rich Strike? Oh, I'm sorry, Bart Stradamus?
Strike Rich. Rich Strike. Strike it Rich. Yes.
All right, that's audio.
The people love Bart Stradamus, too. I get stopped with Bart Stradamus everywhere I go.
Yeah, I know.
Bart Stradamus catching up with Can't Wait.
Is it really? You think it's getting there?
Oh, yeah.
Got its own segment and everything, and we need to bring it back more often. I know the people want it. You got to give them what they want, Bart. You always say that. All right, coming up, we got your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your reaction to the MVP was Joel Embiid robbed. Also, which team is in the most trouble in the NBA playoffs right now? Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Ordering is such a frustration, man. We try to order something real quick. You think you know, like, we get the same thing of the same place every time, and then every time you call, it's always the same, like, no, we don't have that. I know you have that. Hi, everybody. Yeah, you're just joining us in the midst of our conversation right now. It's Bart and Han, Allen, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The MVP conversation or the debate rolls on. Woj reporting that Nikola Jokic will win his second straight MVP. Bart feels like Joel Embiid was robbed. Do you agree or disagree? Mike in Ohio. What's up, Mike?
Yeah. What's up, y'all?
What's going on?
Bart, I'm on the fence with that. I'm not totally against what you're saying, but numbers don't lie. And number two, like Shaq would say, most dominant big man ever in the NBA. Stop crying about it. Take your team to the finals, through the injury, whatever. No more excuses. Take them to the finals, get the finals MVP. You'll change everybody's mindset.
See, but that's the great thing. Joel has not complained one time. Like, even when he didn't get it last year, when he was the favorite for it, all he did was go back to work and get in shape. You know, I can tell that Joel's in shape because when you have a guy that you've never seen veins in his arm, and you start seeing veins in his arms, that means cardiovascular, he went and put in the work and he lost the weight. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he's not complaining. He's just going to work. You see, he came back and he played. He was a dark knight, and he was the difference in two wins.
Yeah, he was asked about it a couple of weeks ago, and he just said he just doesn't think people like him.
Yeah, I think he really did
put it like that. People just don't like me.
Because what else can he do?
Yeah. Well, right. Get your team to the finals. Well, Giannis didn't get his team to the finals the first MVP.
Yeah. Right?
Like, he had to get there.
And listen, people fall in love.
And that's what happens, too. Now, look, and Jokic, after this year, all right, you win a second MVP. Okay, you're a two-time MVP winner. Next year, it's on.
Yeah.
No excuses. Jamal Murray be healthy. You hope that Michael Porter Jr. be healthy. And it's time to win. Like, it's not time to, you know, get to a conference final or get to – no. It's time for you to get a chip. You got two MVPs. Let's go. That's what comes. The weight that comes with a two-time MVP is that. And that's – Steve Nash carried that weight, and they weren't able to do it. They ran into a lot of frustration, and they eventually broke that team up. You know, James Harden was not able to do it. Russell Westbrook, not able to do it. Like, these guys that have won MVPs that now, okay, you won an MVP. You got our attention. Can you lead your team now to win a championship? When Giannis did it, it's sort of like the weight was off his shoulders.
But you know, it's some people that prefer the way that Jokic go about his business outside of Joel Embiid and his, you know, outspokenness and his character and his, you know, he's loquacious, he's funny, he's outspoken. You know how that is. It is some people that just don't like people.
Maybe, but when you're the media, you just vote for the guy that's well deserving of it. All right, more of your calls coming up in 10 seconds. Stay with us.
Bart and Hahn.
Extra fly. Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your calls going here in a few more minutes as we continue the debate about the MVP. Woj reporting that it will be Nikola Jokic for a second straight year. Bart feels like Joel Embiid was robbed. A lot of the callers today agree with Bart. We've only had a few people that have pointed out, like what I pointed out, which it was probably really close. And when it's that close, I've voted before on these awards, and I know that it, when it's very difficult to pick between one or the other, you go to the numbers, you go to the stats, and it is a fact that Nikola Jokic had a historic season statistically, the highest PER ever recorded in NBA history, and also number one in a lot of the analytics as well on both sides of the ball. So if you agree with Bart and Joel Embiid was robbed, let us know. If you say, Bart, nah, man, stand down. This guy deserved it for a second straight year. Let us know as well. And of course, there was Giannis, who was in the conversation, did not win it, but he was in the conversation. Meanwhile, on the football side of things, Bart, so the doubleheader for week two, Monday Night Football, was announced as the schedules now will start to come out.
So I've heard.
Yes. Heard a couple of things, by the way.
Doubleheader.
Yeah. So the first game we're going to get is the Titans and the Buffalo Bills. Excited?
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean, I'm trying to get the Boo Birds out so we can get Malik Willis in there because Tannehill's a hater.
You already hater.
I can't deal with no
see,
hater.
Now
like
all
that.
Of a sudden, like you're on that now, right?
Yep,
like
yep.
you're so against
run
them
your
as
spots.
Well.
Sucker.
Yes, schedule release for the NFL Thursday, 8 o'clock. Yes, we're going to have a show.
The NFL is
on
the
ESPN
only league
too. And ESPN Plus releasing the schedule.
They grab
it's like
every ounce of juice out of every little thing and or every other league just put their schedule out.
Can I give you another the other part of the doubleheader that
already,
was announced?
I already know. Go
week
ahead,
two, Monday Night Football doubleheader. So you got Titans at Bills.
Week two or week one?
This is week two now. Remember, the schedule itself will be out. Game two is the Vikings and the Eagles. That's the later game. Vikings, Eagles. No? That's meh?
Meh.
No? Not excited?
Eagles should it should be barbecue chicken.
Should it? There's a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts in when it comes to the Eagles. They were talking about on Get Up this morning. I'm curious what you think. Dan Orlovsky first had Dak Prescott as the quarterback with the most pressure on him, and then he changed his mind in the midst of the segment and said, no, it's Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is literally playing for his job.
Right. I mean,
like Dak has the contract. So no matter what happens, he's got the contract.
Tua Tagovailoa as
but,
well.
But Jalen doesn't have – like he's playing for his job because they have two picks, two first-round picks next year, and they can say, all right, that's not the guy.
Yeah.
This is a quarterback draft. We're going to get our quarterback in this draft.
Tua's on deck too. He's on deck to become Baker Mayfield or become Sam Darnold. Or maybe Daniel Jones has a lot of pressure on him too.
There's no doubt he has a lot of pressure.
This regime did not draft him.
Yeah, and then you look
at could you imagine next year if Daniel Jones don't play well, then they bring in Baker Mayfield because he's a cheap option.
Ew.
That could happen because he's a cheap option.
Can you imagine Baker Mayfield in the New York market, knowing
even
how he is about
money too.
He put the microphone in front of me and let's go? Like he gets in his feelings. Like, he's a guy that loves media attention.
But what options will they have?
Not many.
It's not like they're going to be able to draft somebody. They won't be bad enough to be better than the Lions or some of the other teams that probably are going to not only have a pick but also have the draft equity to move up.
We're still waiting to see what happens with Baker Mayfield. But, I mean, it just seems like
– oh, he'll get released eventually just like –
the Giants just opened up some cap space, right? James Bradbury was officially released like you called it he would be. It opens up for them about a little over $9 million in actual –
yeah,
cap relief.
They still need a lot of that, right? You notice you haven't heard them saying that, oh, we signed Kayvon Thibodeau because they ain't got the money yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Well, that's why you
got
to clear
right?
it up.
Because you see these contracts are guaranteed. They got two guaranteed contracts they have to give out. That's hard money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, something to watch. Again, there's no seat right now for Baker Mayfield. We'll wait and see where it ends up. Bart throws that out there, and that's a really interesting one. Could he end up with the Giants eventually? Coming up, Nikola Jokic, MVP. We get your reaction next. Bart and Hahn. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.